So trying to figure out what to say to the church, I guess the most important thing is to give the glory to God for this church. This church really was an answer to prayer. It's funny, I was just talking with Lucy about us being here. And I said, you know, as I'm trying to say goodbye, I'm going to try to make it through crying. But even at my retirement ceremony, the thing that really brought me to tears was this church and pastor's ministry to me. So that's where I want to give the praise to God. Because as Deanne and I have been in the military, and she really has been in the military with me for 29 years. She just wasn't paid the right wages for her service like I was. One of the things we've gotten good at, I thought, was selecting churches. We've had to change churches 14 times through 14 PCS moves, so we've got good at praying about it. And when we first got here, first of all, we were here from 1993 to 1996, the first time we were here when Pastor Gaskell was still the pastor. And so we said, hey, we know that church. We should go back. We knew the Davises when they were here. He's the preacher now. It's all got to be good. After the first couple of services, I said, hey, Deanne, is it time to visit another church? Not because there was anything wrong with this one, just because through our experience with choosing churches, it's like we learn never to settle for the first church we visited. We'd visit lots of different churches and see which one, you know, had that family atmosphere, the right preaching, the right doctrine. And she shot me this glare that I knew that there was going to be no more conversation about finding the right church. It was over at that point. It's like, okay, well, I like the church too, so I guess there's going to be no more experimenting. And one of the things I picked up from Pastor is alliteration. So the three things I want to praise the church for is the parish, the pastor, and the prayers. So on the parish, and that was the closest P I could get to for meaning the congregation, my brothers and sisters in Christ here, you guys have been a blessing to us right from the beginning. I remember our first day here, and it was extending that hand to fellowship. Brother Lawrence came right up to us after that and said, hey, do you guys want to come to ice cream for our house? You know, you and your children, it was that hand of fellowship right off the bat. And it was like Sister Miriam offering to proofread my State Department why I want to be a Foreign Service Officer statement that I had to write and getting me past that. She did it for no money, and those kind of editorial services usually cost you a couple $100 if I were to go outside for it. Or Matt asking me to teach at one of his classes, constitutional law. That was a real opportunity for me. Or when it was Brother Ray passing out candies to my children and offering them to take them to McDonald's, even though he had no money. I don't know where he got the money to take my kids to McDonald's, but that was important for him to minister unto the children. So I appreciate the hand of fellowship that your church body has really given my family. It was the ministry opportunities that we got, whether I getting the chance to be a deacon for a little bit of time, or Deanna playing the piano and the organ. And by the way, the musicians here are some of the most godly musicians I've met. I've been at a lot of churches where that piano becomes kind of their little altar, and how dare you touch my piano, this is my job. But whether it's Kelly or Amanda or any of the other musicians, they've never had a problem giving up the keyboard. And that shows that the music to them was not just an opportunity to look at me, but it was a real testimony to God. They were doing it for God. So I appreciate the ministry opportunities. Or Joshua getting a chance to do Sunday school. That's important for a young preacher, getting that first opportunity. So I want to thank the church for that. And then the example this church has set. Every time I think that I've got it bad, all I got to do is look around and see how people come back to the church from travesties and are right ready to serve. Brother Ray, I think when we first got here, Ray had just gone to the hospital with his massive heart attack. Maybe it only been a few days. As soon as he was out of the hospital, he was back here giving praises to God and leading music services. And Brother Bill, you've been such an inspiration to me. Going through that chemotherapy, every Sunday you were back here in church after going through that chemotherapy and then giving glory to God when God had cured you of it. But even most recently, Clarence, you know, I've never been faced with what you've been faced with over the last 2 weeks. But here you are back in church with your smiling face that means so much to this church. So, the Gainies, as busy as they are, you know, with their nursing and their family and helping their dad get settled into his new build a mansion, you know, just the example that you guys are. You're the kind of Christians I aspire to be, so I thank you for that. So second P, Pastor, if you were at my retirement ceremony, by the way, that was a blessing to me too, even that hand of fellowship. How many of you showed up at my retirement ceremony? It was a blessing trying to get 12 people cleared onto the base, and I appreciate that. Because I knew that wasn't easy for you and to take time out of your busy days. But this is the part that almost got me to tears when talking to Lucy. So you saw how important Pastor was to me. And one of the things that he's a blessing to me on is his carefulness with the Word of God. He's an expository preacher, which is something we were looking for. He goes through the whole counsel of God. He doesn't pick the verses that say what he thinks he wants them to say, like a Joel Osteen or anything. He actually takes the whole counsel of God and gives it to you. And believe me, that's hard to find nowadays. All you have to do is go by Airline Baptist Church. Not Airline. What's that one on Wilson Hall? Alice Drive, thank you. And see the kind of banners they have out and know that they're not getting fed the Word of God, but we've got that in our preacher. And when you see him put together those acrostics, I was like, how does he get that every week? That he is able to find the right letters to go with the message right as it flows from the words. Well, that comes from preparation. So, Pastor, I thank you for your hard work with the preparation. But you know, it's funny with the doctrine thing, because there's one area, and this is something you can say on your last Sunday at church, but you don't want to say it your first Sunday at church, which is, to be honest, I'm a post-trib rapturist. And I can show you the words in the Bible that say that there's going to be a post-trib rapture. I can show you the history where that belief didn't even occur till Schofield brought it up, but that every founder of the church before that believed there was going to be a post-trib. The only thing that makes me doubt in my belief in that, actually, is Pastor, and here's why. Now, I'm still going to rely on the Word of God and what my studies kind of teach me, but the reason that make me doubt it is I have never met a more spirit-filled preacher that has the heart of God and the love of God in him. And that kind of spirit and love doesn't come without God being on you, Pastor. So your belief in a pre-trib rapture actually inspires, like, man, I got to go back and look at that. Maybe I'm missing something. And I didn't want to bring that up to be kind of any kind of dissension, but just to show you how, and by the way, that's the only thing Pastor and I may disagree on, because everything else has been exactly right. And that's probably right, knowing his spirit walk. It's just, you know, in my own study, that's where I've led up. So, Pastor, you know, your love come through in a lot of different ways, and I mentioned the time you took with me when I needed some spiritual help that year that your mother was dying. That showed the love of God. And I think most recently where I saw it is when the deacons meeting, we were talking kind of about how to use the general fund and the teacher salary and all that. Your heart is always on what's best for your teachers. So it's your love not only showed forward in the congregation, but in your ministry as a school leader as well. And then finally, I want to talk about the prayers of the church and how much they've meant to me. You guys have always been there, and you've always been praying for big things, whether it was healing for Brother Bill or it was healing for Brother Wright, by the way, 2 for 2 on those prayers. But amidst all those big prayers, those big concerns that people had, you prayed for my small concerns, like the sale of the house in Benton. And so 3 for 3, we got that prayer answered. And even Joshua's accident with the expedition. I asked for prayer about that, and God answered that, and that's going to kind of dovetail into my last answered prayer that the church has done for us. So if you were at the retirement ceremony, you saw that God, when you ask God for things, sometimes he'll give you what you need, not what you want, and you're all mature Christians, so you know that. And you saw how that played out in my own life during my pilot training days. Happened that way with Joshua's expedition accident. You know, we pray for safety of our kids, and God did deliver him. He's safe from that accident. The car was totaled out, but we actually needed the money during this transition page of our life more than we needed the car. And one of the things I'd forgotten about is that our car was covered by comprehensive insurance. So God knew that goodbye car, hello to the money you're going to need, you know, during this transition page phase of life. So God gave me what we needed, not what we wanted. And it was the same way earlier in my career with the UPT, as I mentioned at the retirement ceremony, where I asked God for an F-15 or an F-16 cockpit out of pilot training, but he knew that that would have interfered with the salvation of my soul because of the pride and the vanity that would have covered my heart. So instead, God washed me out of pilot training and gave me a beautiful wife that would help draw me onto the Lord and would humble me a little bit. Well, one of the things I asked this church for prayer about was my next upcoming job. So earlier in the year, I asked you guys for prayer about the State Department job. And every phase of that, you guys, being a Foreign Service officer, and every phase of that, God answered those prayers, and he got me through the first hurdle, the second hurdle, the third hurdle. But then there was a fourth hurdle I didn't even realize was going to be a hurdle, and that was the security clearance. I said, well, I've already got a top secret security clearance. Like, yeah, but you need to get a new one for the State Department. And as I was kind of mulling that over, other job opportunities came up to us in Bloomington, Indiana, and so that's where we're headed, started tomorrow. But I love how God works things out, because again, he gave us what we needed, not what we wanted. As Deanna and I were moving this last move, it dawned on us how hard moves are. And when we were younger, we had the energy to get through it. But now, as we're running out of energy and we just want a quiet place to live where we can be under godly leadership like the kind we were here, we said, you know what, God knew better for us. He threw that fourth obstacle in the State Department job to give us where we were really going to find peace and spiritual encouragement. So I want to give glory to God for that. And so that's kind of where we're going next. We're going to head up to Bloomington, Indiana tomorrow, which is about the closest place you can find a rental home, close to Crane, Indiana. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate you, Pastor, and we appreciate just the spirit of this church. And if any of you are up in the southern to central Indiana area, please look us up, because we'd love to see you again. Thank you for the time to give glory to God, Pastor.
Trusting in my Father's word. Hebrews chapter 5, this morning, my plan, I don't know if I'll get through all of it or not with communion today. I may finish it up next week. We'll see how the time goes. We're looking, continuing the piece that Rob had. We'll have four more of those this morning. The principles of the Word of God, the practice of the Word of God, perception in the Word of God, and perfection in the Word of God. And that's God's goal for us, to bring about perfection, completion, maturity in our lives. But sometimes we have dullness of hearing here. And that's the phrase that we see in this passage of Scripture here, that they weren't getting this because they had dullness of hearing. That's probably a degenerative disease that is defined, simply put, as degenerative disease is a disease causing the body or part of the body to become weaker or less able to function as time passes. And so my hearing has certainly done that. Sometimes my wife will say it's selective hearing rather than dullness of hearing there, and we understand that as well. Jesus said in Luke 8:18, he said, "Take heed therefore how you hear." So it's important that we hear the right things, and so therefore we do want to preach the whole counsel of God from the pulpit here. But also it's important to take heed how we hear something, because a person can hear it but not hear it the right way or not apply it by faith there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll look at dullness of hearing as it relates to these four things. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God that speaks to our hearts through your Word. Help our spiritual hearing not to be dull this morning, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, and that we would be open and receptive to what you have for us. And Lord, that if necessary, we would change our way of thinking, that allow you to change our hearts and continue that process of molding and shaping us into the image of Christ. And we pray that our time together this morning in your Word would help towards that end of making us more like Christ. Lord, we thank you for the body of believers here and for the blessing and fellowship and encouragement and support that we get from one another. What a blessing it is, and we thank you and give you the glory in Christ's name. Amen. As we look first of all at the principles of the Word of God, it tells us here in verse 12, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." In other words, you need to be taught again the foundational things, the ABCs. When you ought to be a teacher, you're needing to go back to kindergarten and learn how to read all over again there. And the oracles that he talks about here is the same word as the word word in John 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word." God's Word, the oracles, the Word of God. And so this letter here, the Hebrews, it was about 30 years after that the Lord had died, and well, it was written around 50 or 51, but here, 30 years later, after they had first received the word, it was given to them at Pentecost. And so now about 30 years later, they still aren't mature like they ought to be. Sometimes we talk about having 30 years of experience and heard someone say, you know, like with teaching, you know, teachers will remember their first year of teaching there. It's memorable regardless of how long ago it was. You remember that first year of teaching there. And sometimes, unfortunately, a person can have 1 year of experience 30 times rather than having 30 years of experience. You know, they keep doing the same old things over and over. And that's what Paul, or whoever's writing, I believe it's Paul, but we're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews here. And so whenever you see an adult who has the mind of a preschooler, it's a pitiful sight, isn't it? You know, we expect preschoolers and kindergartners to have the needs of preschoolers and kindergartners, but here, as the author writes, he says, 30 years later, you have need that you be taught all over again. You ought to be teaching, and you haven't grown. You haven't reached that level of maturity in your lives. And so he talks about six principles of the Word of God. And they're listed here as foundational principles there. In chapter 6, verse 1, we'll come back to the end of chapter 5 in a little bit. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, to maturity. And so he lays down here six foundational principles of the Word of God. And so we could spend a lot of time on these things and really get bogged down, and I would never finish the book of Hebrews, maybe not even chapter 6 if we did that. So let's look at these six foundational principles of the Word of God. And one is the doctrine of repentance in verse 1. It says, the foundation of repentance from dead works. It doesn't say repentance from sin. It says repentance from dead works. The word repentance means a change of mind. And whenever a person comes to repent in their mind, they're changing their mind about their dead works, because all other religions are based on works. I've got to do so much in order to earn my way to God. But the Bible says it's not by works that we've done, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. And so we have a change of mind about our works. We have a change of mind about our sins, even though it doesn't list it as sins here, repentance of dead works. There, we begin to say that my sin is as wicked as God says it is. Sometimes we like to look at our sin and say, well, I know it's bad, but it's not as bad as so-and-so's sin over here. You know, what they do is a whole lot worse than what I do. But that's not what God says. God says all of our sin is wicked, and all of our sin alienates us from God. And so when a person gets saved, he doesn't just believe that there's a God, and he doesn't just believe that Jesus is God's Son and Jesus is the only Savior of the world. The Bible tells us clearly in James that the devil and the demons, they believe this, but they're not saved because they have not repented. And a person who testifies that he believes in the Bible and he believes the teaching of Scripture and he believes that salvation is only by Christ, and he continues to live in a sinful lifestyle and living in sin and says he's a believer, that's not a foundational truth. A foundational truth, the very first one that's mentioned, is repentance there. In the book of Acts, it says in chapter 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the next one comes in, and it is in verse 1 as well. Repentance from dead works and faith toward. Notice those two prepositions. There's repentance from something, turning from, and then turning toward. And that's what repentance is. Whenever we have a change of mind, a change of heart, we're turning away from our own works, our own sins, and we're turning towards God. And when a person has a change of mind, a change of